This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information, head to joy.org.au.
If there's one thing that you should do to stay up to date with news, it's not listen to the ABC.
No.
It's not read the Financial Review.
No.
It's not go to the Murdoch press site.
Well, certainly no.
It's the Richard Foster Report.
We're working on a
better introduction, Warren. You have nailed it.
How are you, Foster?
Look, doing suitably well. Suitably well, and as Warren rightly points out, paying a bit of attention to what's been happening lately. There's been a bit of news around.
There's a lot going on.
Isn't that right? I mean, we rely so much on news now more than we ever did. We're really tuning in now to news services, aren't we?
Well, some idiots are not.
Some idiots are tuning into
the wrong news services.
That's one of the problems.
I think I know what you're talking about there. I'm just waiting for the day that Daniel Andrews fronts up to one of his 11 a.m. press conferences of a morning and comes out and says, well, you know, due to the overwhelming, incontrovertible evidence presented by protesters, I'm cancelling the lockdown.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Gee, they make a good point. Yeah.
What concerns me, though, is a lot of they're quite violent towards the police. And there's this trend of not giving names and sovereign citizens and all of this rubbish going on. And I think, you know, it's one thing. I mean, it's illegal to protest at the moment, but they're just jumping to the violence rather quickly.
Yeah, it's really concerning, isn't it? It makes me wonder sometimes, though, that some of the things, the very things that people protest, are the very things that they're contributing to themselves, you know? And it does bring into question what and why they're doing these things. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, I think everybody has the right to protest about things they disagree with.
Of course.
But I think the real message underlying what's happening right now is that there's a time and a place. And now is not the time, and there probably isn't a place right now.
It's certainly not the Queen Vic Market.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
I think I cringe when I hear people yelling out, oh, COVID's not real and stuff like that. I think, oh, my God, where are you getting your information from?
Well, these are the same people, Warren, that you'll probably find were opposed to marriage equality because they feared it.
Yeah.
They were scared senseless about boats arriving from somewhere.
Yes.
And they're worried about mobile phone towers in their backyard. I mean, you know, they're generally the same people.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, can't we cure COVID-19 through 5G?
Give it a try, Will.
Now, what's the big news coming out of the state government from the announcement this morning?
Look, it's actually interesting to see that part of the $3 billion package that came out yesterday has gone to, $100 million of it has gone to a partnership with the City of Melbourne. And Daniel Andrews has been very quick to praise the current Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, for her advocacy for Melbourne or city-based businesses that are obviously doing it very tough, as are businesses across the state. It's a $50 million partnership from each side, though, and that hasn't actually made the headlines all that prominently, but it's actually $50 million from the City of Melbourne and $50 million from the state government. There's your $100 million spend. Sally Capp's been out commending the Premier. The Premier has been out commending Sally Capp.
Yeah, they're a little friend bubble.
It is I didn't think of it that way. But yes, all right, I'll give you that. Now, this is going to be, it's going to be interesting now to see how other Lord Mayoral candidates respond as we go into the local government elections over the next few weeks. Now that there seems to be this signed up partnership, all but a signed up partnership.
Yeah, but that's committed cash. It's not like anybody can refute that or withdraw it.
No, you wouldn't think so. It's just that we do already have one Lord Mayoral candidate out there saying that he wants to take Dan Andrews to task over the lockdown. He wants to take the challenge up to the Premier to do more for business. Well, this is $100 million for businesses in his electorate. So this is what I mean. It's going to be interesting to see now what other Lord Mayoral candidates have to say about Daniel Andrews when he's just pumped $100 million into their local businesses.
Also, sure as the day is long, if the lockdown were lifted, City of Melbourne would have to be the one that suffered the most immediately because we just have the highest population of workers and transport hubs.
When you ask people what the largest economic driver in the city of Melbourne is. So we're talking about the local government area of Melbourne now, so the inner city. If you ask what the largest economic driver is, most people would say, well, you know, events or entertainment, eating venues, hospitality, you know, that sort of thing. And whilst that's certainly a significant economic driver, it's not the largest. Guess what it is?
What?
It's international education. Yeah, over $1 billion worth. Sitting in Melbourne. So you take that out of the economy, and what have you got? And that's actually, I'm talking about the central city now.
You've got three koala shops. That's what you've got.
You don't have much more. That's about it.
Those little clip-on ones. That's it.
Exactly. Hey, it was interesting to see the News Corp papers published late last week a poll of five state seats, which yielded some somewhat interesting results that are probably worth having a quick chat about. Now, the five seats they looked at were Bayswater, Hawthorne, Mount Waverley, South Bowen and Monbog. And unless you live there, they probably don't mean that much to you. Pretty much a Liberal stronghold. So you would expect that there's not going to be overwhelmingly promising results for the Labor Party sitting out there. Lo and behold, the poll tells you they suffered an average swing across the five seats against the Andrews government of some 14%. You would call that a whopping swing for sure. And they will also say, as they did in the yarn that followed the publishing of the poll, that if that was replicated statewide at the next election, the government would be wiped out. Well, of course, it would be. But let's have a quick look at those seats. Bayswater was a marginal seat. It was only created in 1992, only held once before by the ALP, and that suffered a swing of 5%. Mount Waverley, also very marginal, only around since 2002, hasn't been held strongly by the ALP either, and that had around 6.5% swing against it. Now, both these seats have a margin of less than 2%. In fact, four of the five seats have a margin of less than 2%. So you're talking about very, very tight seats. What we're saying is that if this did happen at the next state election, you would have expected a pretty solid correction against the results that the government achieved at the last election. They picked up seven seats. They've got an overwhelming majority in the lower house. It's a hard task. I mean, for the coalition to get back in, they'll need to pick up 13 seats from somewhere to get back.
Yeah, it is extraordinary political environment, though. Like, there will be no campaign that could be run that you can't just copy and paste any other campaign from history ever, I think, for this one.
Probably not, but we've also got to remember it's 2 years away.
Yeah.
And I'd be really surprised if you don't see some of these marginal seats swing back. Oh, sorry, I said 13 seats the coalition need there. It's 15. Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah.
I'd be really surprised if you didn't get these marginal swinging back. Why they picked these seats to survey,
yes,
though, not quite sure. Not quite sure.
This is not just a sample. This is actually where they went out and
this
picked those seats.
This is the actual survey. Weird. That's right.
So this is the Murdoch Press.
It's the Murdoch Press that ran it. Apparently a leaked survey from the Liberal Party. So the Libs conducted the poll. Hawthorne was included in there. Hawthorne's a fascinating seat from the last election. That's got a wafer-thin margin, again, under 1%, about half, a 0.5 a percentage point, right? That's the first time since 1889 that Labor has ever won that seat.
Got
it by 0.5%.
Wasn't that somebody who lives in a nursing home? Was it something random like that, Hawthorne?
Well, I'll be polite to you. He's probably close to that age. And coincidentally named John Kennedy. He was as surprised as anyone to win that seat. He was definitely not expecting, and I'm sure pleased that he won, but he was certainly not expecting it. If that seat doesn't go back to the Libs at the next election, I would bear my button, Bergstreet. But it's
there we go. You heard it here first.
You've heard it. If I'm allowed to, if restrictions permit.
Now, are you about to break the best-kept secret in politics in Victoria, which is the name of the existing Liberal Party leader? Because I think that's been a closely guarded secret for some time.
Well, let's just watch this space. The current leader of the Liberal Party is Michael O'Brien. There you
never
are.
Never heard of him.
Down. Michael O'Brien. Actually, our former state treasurer. So in the previous Liberal government. Michael, look, I understand. My information is that there is actually a deal in the Liberal Party that the leadership will be handed over before the next election.
And
it will be Michael O'Brien. It'll go back to Matthew Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you might remember Matthew Guy.
Well,
yes,
we honour him. Yeah.
Yep. There you go. So look forward to seeing more of Matthew.
Back to the future there.
It is a bit. Makes you wonder, you know, if he couldn't win the first time, what makes it different now? Well, there are probably a few things. Obviously, there wasn't a COVID crisis. There wasn't allegations of mismanagement by the government and so on.
I actually think they're handling it reasonably well, the Libs, by not going, they're not overtly going. The fact that I don't know Michael O'Brien and haven't heard him speak means that they're not going hard now. They'll wait until this calms down and let Daniel Andrews calm it down and then go hard on the back end of this.
Yeah, I don't think it's from lack of trying on the part of Michael O'Brien. I think he is actually making every effort he can to get out there. The issue is that people aren't listening. People are very keen to make their own criticisms of the government and to listen to the government respond, but not so keen to listen to the opposition. So, look, it's kind of your mid-electoral term at the moment. That's not unusual, regardless of the circumstances. Not unusual at all. But as you get into the election season, if you like, so, you know, we're talking now about, say, from about halfway through 2022, then I'd be a bit surprised if the opposition wasn't getting some traction. And indeed, if they're not, well, you know, they're out to sea, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on the federal level, we're running out of time, so we're just going to have you chat with us about what our friend Ms. Palaszczuk is up to.
Well, she copped a real whopping, didn't she, over a young lady who was not permitted to go and see her dying father due to the border restrictions in Queensland. The Premier flicked it on to the Chief Health Officer, who is, well, for all intents and purposes, responsible for these things and responsible for making decisions about who gets in under a lockdown and who doesn't. What a bizarre response from the Chief Health Officer in Queensland. Quite unapologetic in saying that, well, she had allowed exemptions for Tom Hanks and she had allowed exemptions for some 400 AFL personnel to come into the state because of the amount of money they contribute to the state.
Yeah, he just went, he was just short of saying, but they're alive and can make us money.
Yeah,
unlike your
absolutely.
Father who is dead. It was a terrible, terrible bit of politics and
it really
diplomacy.
Was. Real own goal. It makes it, well, why didn't the young lady concerned go and, you know, join up to become an AFL player? That would solve the problem.
That's hardly impossible at all.
Kind of silly.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, another own goal by the Nationals in Queensland too, Warren, that that you just pointed to with Mr. Barilaro threatening to pull out of the coalition if protection measures for koalas on farmland weren't abandoned by the government.
Because they were already, it was already introduced, wasn't it, in March or April this
that's
year?
That's right. They were talking about ramping those up, though, and actually, increasing the burden on farmers. Through the Nats into a furor, kind of, not exactly thought through, though.
Tantrum.
Kind of, you know, a bit of an on-the-spot tanty, fired before thinking, ended up in a meeting with the Premier first thing the next day where he had to say, nah, just kidding, pulled it all off the table.
I think we've all pulled some shit like that during COVID, though.
I wonder if there'll be any repercussions to the National Party in federally.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that Morrison didn't want a bar of it. Barnaby
would.
Characteristically was the only one to jump on the bandwagon and try and assist Mr. Barilaro out. Whether or not that was really assisting or not, I don't know. But he gave it his best shot. I think part of the own goal, though, was saying, well, we're resigning, we're pulling out of the coalition, but I'm staying as Deputy Premier and we're holding our ministerial positions. Thank you very much. Well, a bit hard to have you take it either.
I love it that Barnaby's sentimental from the time when he was just getting rid of Johnny Depp's puppies, you know, Pistol and Boo. Like, they were the good old days for Barnaby. lovely to talk to you. We'll have a chat again this time next week. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.